Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletau from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from North Carolina is Gio Gallo. Gio is the co-CEO of Compliance Line. We're going to be talking today about compliance lines, hotlines. Gio, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, Adam, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for letting me join you guys.
My pleasure. So what we're going to be talking about today are the most common mistakes companies are making with anonymous hotlines, which is a topic that obviously no company wants to be guilty of. And as we were preparing for this, there were basically four key things that we identified and thought we would go through each one of them in turn. The first one is probably the most dangerous one, which is breaks in anonymity. Gio, can you talk about how that typically occurs and things to watch for?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad that you recognized and noted that this is a really important one. So obviously, through a hotline, the goal of the compliance team is you want to find out bad things that are going on. And through this avenue, through the hotline, you want to make sure that people feel comfortable reporting. So one reason this is important is to make sure that people who have a concern that you don't know about feel comfortable reporting it to you. And then the other piece is you just want to take care of your people, and that break in anonymity can lead to, you know, someone getting fired or retaliated against and things like that. So one thing that we like to clarify around this is more complex than just whether you include someone's name in a report. That's something that we always talk about and help people get an understanding around is the information that could identify a person are the things that could break anonymity. And that might be their title or characteristics about them or where they work or things like that. So you certainly want to have some things in place where you don't collect their name. And then you want to make sure that you protect the information that's in that report as it gets handed off to different investigators or reported through different channels to make sure that that identifying information doesn't end up getting back to somebody who might retaliate against that employee or just identifying them when they didn't want to be identified. So you can handle all of these things with training. You can handle it with IT configuration. If you're doing it with configuration, you really need to make sure that your team or your vendor are really there to serve you and set this up properly with a fully robust process and things like that. But really, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that you know all of the ways that anonymity can be broken so that you can protect against those. And those are not just the information that you put in it, but also who sees it and the ways that someone might be able to infer something from the information contained in the report.
Yeah, and also I think it's important to note that you also need to be careful as you're collecting things. For example, when people submit online, that you're not collecting so much data correct that it would be easy to identify the person.
Yeah, that's a great point, Adam. And you know, there are always these layers of complexity that we as ethics leaders need to manage throughout this process. And one way to solve that is just to not collect the information. So you don't want to be recording calls on the hotline or saving the IP address on a web form and things like that. And there's another layer that you can manage this on is how you blind or redact that information once it's in the system, because maybe it's okay for the compliance officer to see it, but it's not okay for the manager of a facility to see it because they might be able to identify something like that. And you know, as we're getting outside of the hotline, this can even get to showing someone a written note that someone could identify their handwriting or things like that. Because of the importance of this issue, it's important to think through what are the pieces of information that come into the system, and then who sees those, and could someone back into that?
Now, another challenge that you found is poor communication. What are some of the issues that come up in that area?
Yeah, so largely this issue intake process is really going to have the magic when you get employee engagement, right? When people see something, they say something. When there's a problem, they trust the compliance team enough to give them the information, and they also know about it. So we think of this on both ends of that continuum. There's some things up front that you can do to make sure you're communicating properly, and then some things in the back end. So up front, we kind of think of that generally as awareness. You want to make sure that all your employees, they know the process. They know where to report it, and they have confidence, and especially that they have trust, and that's kind of the hardest thing to get a lot of times, that this reporting process is safe, and also they trust that someone is going to take action. And before I got into this line of business, I knew of this conceptually, but until you see these reports and you understand the things that people ask as they're engaging in a reporting process like this, it's really hard to appreciate the level of concern and the level of either distrust or just caution that people have in engaging with this. So giving people the information about where to report, and then also helping them really buy into this idea that the compliance team cares about not just the activity, but also cares about protecting the reporting party, is really important. So, you know, basic things like that are, you know, posters, and people should understand, you know, what goes wrong, when it happens, how they can report it, and help them feel comfortable reporting that stuff in each of these different scenarios. But really, in addition to those posters, there are a lot of things that you can do with a professional awareness campaign, some digital things like email and in integrating with other communication patterns within the organization, giving people a wallet card and things like that. And in this state of the world we're in, where everyone is attention starved and everyone's competing for attention, it's important for compliance leaders to think creatively about ways that they can make sure that this is not just something people hear about once when they get hired and it goes in a drawer somewhere, but it's something that comes up again. And then the back end of that is just the follow-up after someone reports something, to the extent that you can, as allowed by law or as is prudent, circling back with them and sharing what you can about, was this substantiated or not, or did action take place, or do you need more information? That follow-up, a lot of times, if a team is really just focused on the things that they have to do in the process, that sometimes that might not get done. But again, that's really where a lot of that magic is. When someone reports something and they have that communication on the back end, it's very encouraging to know, hey, something was done about this, or at least someone looked into it. And that word really gets around, and that can fight some of these things that we're all fighting against, where people say, hey, you know what, no one's going to do anything about this, or if I report anonymously, they really know who I am, and things like that. And that follow-up can really make this a more fulsome process that gets employees engaged and empowers compliance leaders with the information that they can take action on.
You know, as you're talking about this, especially on getting people to call on the front end, I was reminded of something I learned years ago from a compliance officer who had responsibilities for both a line that covered both compliance and then health and safety issues. And she was in an extractive industry and pointed out that, you know, miners tended to be very tough and didn't like to complain. And so what they did was they developed refrigerator magnets so that people would bring them home, stick them on their fridge. And then when they would start raising an issue, the spouse would be there to say, well, there's the number, you should call. That was really a genius idea for how you think through communication strategy. Now, let's move on to another topic, which is the audit trail, investigative notes. How can those best be handled?
Yeah, so as we get into this, we're getting away from that engagement and the source of the information, and really talking about how can compliance leaders use the information well, that is both secure and also empowers them to make good decisions. So this really should be thought of as an area of continuous improvement. There are tons of things that you can track, and you should be evaluating where you are, and then think about how you can take a step forward. So this is important because you want to know where this issue started, and you want to make sure that the updates are all tracked in the system, and you especially want to make sure that nobody changed the fact pattern without that being tracked somewhere. So again, that's going to help you make better decisions. So a standard for this is that your case management system should house all of your issues, whether they came in from the hotline or online, or someone walked into your office or slipped a note under your door. That's a start for it. But also all of the things that happen after that, where does the follow-up go? Someone had a conversation, someone else sent in a picture of a file. You want to make sure that follow-up is also contained in there, that it's structured. And then also, you know, one of the ways that you keep stepping this forward is, do you have controls in place for tracking who added information, tracking when and what was changed within the file, and things like that. This is something that goes wrong because it can be difficult to do, especially as busy as we all are, and we're just trying to get through the case and make a good decision, tracking that is really going to help you when you might have to reference it years later, or you just need to come back to it and figure out where things came from. So that single place and a strong case management system that's configured well for your specific needs, it makes it easier for your team to really focus on the next action in your lattice work of different efforts across compliance versus getting just trying to get caught up or having to dig through a bunch of old emails or something to figure out where something came from. It's really something that can both protect you in the case of an audit or legal action, but also can help you keep moving forward instead of having to go back over all that stuff.
Now, you just mentioned protecting yourself in case of legal action, but one of the issues that you say can be a big one is over prioritizing legal concerns. What do you mean by that exactly?
Yeah, this is really something that it's really the frontier of compliance. And we believe that compliance is the frontier of companies really achieving their mission. And what we believe is that this isn't the 1900s anymore. And compliance is not just about doing what you have to do so you don't get sued. When you do some of those things, you're going to leave out the human element. And ultimately, compliance is culture, and culture is about people. That's why we're all in this business. That's why we're all trying to serve the objectives that we have, is it takes care of people better. So this industry is really moving through just doing what you have to do because you might get sued or a regulator says so, through the kind of effectiveness ROI phase of, is it worth investing in this, to really the people who do this really well realize that compliance is culture, and you need to push past those things to doing some things like being empathetic on your intake. If you've done an investigation or you have a friend who's been sexually harassed, you know how harrowing it can be to deal with some of these things. So not just having a, hey, you need to answer these questions in these orders, but having some of that flexibility to be understanding of what someone's going through and still make sure you get the information. Getting that information is really, do you have the flexibility to have not just a dynamic approach to the order in which you get your questions asked and answered, but also are you responding to the content that's in the report to say, hey, I heard you said something about that. Let's dig into that some more. Or it sounds like this was in a public place where there's some witnesses around it or whatever it might be. If you have an overly structured process that was just written by the legal team, just with an eye on what is going to keep you from being responsible for having too much information, you're probably not going to go there. And also you need, especially on the hotline, this is a person-to-person interaction over the phone, you need people on your end of the phone taking the issue who are able to get things back on track, because a lot of times this issue balloons into something else and we're talking about, you know, other issues or things that are irrelevant. Ultimately, the compliance team needs actionable information that they can go through in order to protect their people. So when you move from these over prioritization of legal concerns into some of these more human centric approaches, it really is going to make those employees comfortable, because if you're a compliance officer and you care, then you really want to hear more and you want to get that right information. Ultimately, if you're managing the entire intake process and you have responsibility over the hotline, or if you're just an investigator or someone who cares about doing this right, we as ethics experts, it's our responsibility to make sure this stuff gets done properly. And in my view, doing it properly means caring about the person, not just caring about covering our legal exposure.
Well, thanks, Gio, for sharing those insights into some of the common challenges and mistakes you see people making with helplines. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.